Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The party's about to start, and we are back in the building.
Woo, woo, woo.
Very unique week, but we still figured out a way during the holiday season to get in this studio. They cannot keep us away. We are back. Players Only is in the building.
Yes.
We got Joe Mays.
Woo, woo, woo.
Sean Barber is back with us.
All I want for Christmas is you.
And all I want for Christmas is for him not to sing anymore. This is Dane and Hughes, all former NFL players, mostly with the Chiefs, and we're here back, Players Only, for this unique couple of weeks as we wrap ourselves around the holidays. There's still a lot of quality football being played here in the Chiefs' kingdom. Yep. And our first quarter of our show, I guess in this instance, we are in podcast mode. And still, our friends at U.S. Bank are our sponsors. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Guys, this has been a fun week. Obviously, it's coming to a close soon where hopefully you all are spoiling your kids with some great gifts, your spouses as well. People are buying up a whole bunch of gift cards from the Leia Center,
yes,
Joe.
Yes, they are. Yes,
I got a few myself, and I know Barbershop is going to, I'm putting them on blast. Barbershop is going to buy a few as well.
Hey, matter of fact, hey, welcome back, Barbershop.
It's yeah,
good to have you in.
Appreciate it, man.
Good to have you in the building, man. How you doing?
I wouldn't go
back,
that far.
Back to the kingdom, man. I feel like back at home, man. Can't, went home only to come back to home, so always a good thing.
Yeah, we were praying for you, brother, yes, praying for you and your family and your loss of your dad, and we you know, definitely we're in our prayers, bro.
No doubt. I got to see a lot of good, you know, my friends and family.
You got friends?
I got a lot of friends. Okay? I got lots of friends.
Lots of friends.
No new friends, though. No, hey, don't. 2021, no new friends.
I got a question. Is Daninopoulos one of your friends?
Negative.
It's Nostradanin. He knows it.
No, it's Daninopoulos.
Daninopoulos.
All that jazz Barbershop was talking about during the season regarding the fantasy football, and he's losing the fifth place game. I just want to let that out there. So,
did you make the playoffs?
Anyway, the Chiefs and Saints. We got to recap the Chiefs and Saints. We can't be talking about all these shenanigans and stuff. Chiefs and Saints, big win for the Chiefs down in NOLA. What you guys' thoughts and takeaways from that game?
I think the defense stepped up. Defense stepped up in the in
figures
the big
you
way.
Go to the defense
oh,
first.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, everybody wants to talk about Mahomes, and I'm pretty sure you were going to get to Mahomes, and I'll leave that for you. But I'll start off with the defense, man. They played well. They held this electric offense to under 300 yards, I believe, and they kind of kept the weapons at bay as well. Alvin Kamara, he didn't really have that big of a game. Starting with Drew Brees, he didn't really have that great of a game either, especially with him coming back from an injury. The defense, they came out, they played well. The only thing I could ask for is not have too many penalties. I think they, you know, a lot of the times they have these plays where it's these bang-bang type of plays, and more than likely, the refs, they're going to toss the flag on them. Yeah. So if they can try to, you know, remove that aspect from their game, just go out there, play good, clean, smart, fast, physical style of football, I think they're going to be great heading into the playoffs.
Well, let's stick with the defense. L'Jarius Sneed, welcome back to
the plays.
You know what I mean? Big play, L'Jarius Sneed, showing that he's not a rookie to be messed with. Definitely putting his mark on trying to be one of the impactful defensive players of the season as far as a rookie. So he you know,
definitely sack, unsung.
Yeah. Sack, three pass breakups, interception,
yep.
Tackle, you know, a few tackles. So he made a bunch of big plays all throughout the game. But obviously, like what Joe said, having Drew Brees come back from being, you know, having those broken ribs and stuff, and keeping him rusty.
Yeah.
I think he missed the first. He was 0-7 to begin the game, the longest incomplete streak of his illustrious career.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you can do something like that to a guy who has that much experience, it shows that our DBs and safeties got up in their faces, make them reroute. Had Drew Brees kind of second guessing his reads a few times.
Yeah. A lot of double clutching.
Yeah. So it looked good. I mean, like we said, the defense looked good and the offense got things rolling. Definitely big plays, man.
What do you guys think of, and I don't want to be in interview mode with you guys, but I think you guys have some valid points from the defensive side. I never thought I would say that. But anyway, Drew Brees coming back at the injury and just the mindset. I just find it a little interesting that they decided to bring him back in this way. And I'm going to throw out a theory. It's my own kind of guess. I think he's retiring after this season. I think that Sean Payton knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been a discussion between he and Sean. And he wanted to go out his way, and Sean was going to allow him to do that in coming back quickly, playing the rest of the regular season. They already pretty much know that they are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So who knows whether prior to this game there were going to be 3 games left, 4 games left, 5 games left, a Super Bowl or what have you. But Sean Payton was giving him the go-ahead to leave on his own terms. Part of the reason why I think that is because he rushed back so quickly. The other reason is they didn't use Taysom Hill very much at quarterback. It was almost like they made a concerted effort to give Drew Brees as many reps at the quarterback position. They only brought Taysom Hill in when they got near the goal line, and he scored the touchdown.
Yeah, he ran over Willie Gay.
Yeah. Oof. So, to me, I just think, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but I just think there's always a method to the madness at this level. You guys, we all been coached by guys very rarely, unlike maybe Pop Warner or high school, not that I'm saying anything negative about those coaches, but very rarely do things just get tossed out there.
Right.
Like, there's thinking, overthinking, overcooking, super overcooking, and burning stuff before they throw it out on the field and put somebody in a position to play or personnel usage or anything like that. And the fact that you got a 41-year-old quarterback that comes back after 11 cracked ribs in a game against the Chiefs just because they lost the week before against the Philadelphia Eagles, to me, there's more to the story. There's more meat on the bone in that situation. And I'm going to guess that it's because Drew will be retiring after this season.
Yeah, I think it's just that respect factor. Sean Payton, he has a ton of respect for Drew Brees. He appreciated everything that he's done for the organization. So, of course, he's going to look out for him and you know, let him go out on his own terms. But then again, you can also look at it at a different way. You know, you want to rush back. You want to get yourself ready to prepare to play a game, and you're not ready. I mean, I'll let you go ahead and see. But then that might actually let you know that, okay, well, this is really my last season.
Instead confirmation.
Of this back and forth, you're basically confirming that this is going to be your last season by rushing back and playing when you're not ready to play. And he took a pretty good shot, too.
Yeah.
Charvarius Ward in that game, and he felt that one. So you know, I think it's just one of those things where, like you said, you know, Sean Payton wanted to give him that out. He wanted to allow him to go out on his own terms, go out there and continue to play the game of football, lead this team the way that he's been doing it for years. But also, I think, you know, if they're looking at the big picture and trying to go deep into the playoffs, it just wasn't a good thing to do. I mean, you have a very capable backup in Taysom Hill that can go out there and actually, you know, move the ball maybe as efficiently as Drew Brees.
And Sean Payton has said that he pretty much believes that his quarterback of the future is on the roster, and he's referencing Taysom Hill. So it's not like a situation where you don't think that Taysom can take the ball and run with it, not this year, but next year or what have you. It's not like he's a rookie wet behind the ears. Like, he's gotten some quality time. He's been that kind of Swiss Army knife for this offense. It just seemed like there was more to it than just, hey, Drew's ready. Let's throw him back in the fold against, you know, another top team in the NFL in this situation. But I also can get, I think the general thought is they're battling with Green Bay for the number one seed and the bye. The bye would do Drew well to be able to have 1 week off and be able to rest. Plus, nobody wants to go up to the frozen tundra in January if they can help it. So I understand on both sides of the fence. I just feel like in that situation, there was more meat on the bone than just he's ready to go and ready to play. But you guys referenced the defense. I do have to give some love to the defense in this game, in this matchup. Holding the team to 52 plays, a total of 285 yards for that offense, whether it's Drew or whoever. You have Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook. You have Emmanuel Sanders. You have some playmakers that can get more than 285 on their home turf. And yet our defense was able to step up and do it in solid fashion. I thought the red zone, where we've been lacking over the last few weeks, 4 or 5 touchdowns when we got in the red zone was a good way to flip things around. That pass rush was strong for the Saints, one of the strongest in the league. They got to Patrick Mahomes 4 times, sacked them 4 times, so that's hopefully something that we can correct. And I don't know about you guys, the one stat that I probably pay the least attention to is time of possession. But in this game, we were going against a Saints team that was atop of the NFL with almost 33 minutes per game average in time of possession. You know how much time they had the ball?
Not 33 minutes.
18 minutes and 46 seconds. They had the ball for just over 1/4 of the game.
Yeah.
We controlled the ball for 41 minutes and 14 seconds. So that's a stat in this situation that jumps out to me, not because it's real important, but because it was evidently real important to the other team, and we were able to flip the script and be able to take away and hold on to the ball much longer to the tune of those 92 plays. And we ran the ball for 41 times as well, which I think a lot of people, a lot of fans in the Chiefs' kingdom have been begging for an established run game, and we were able to do it against one of the top run defenses in the league, and with Clyde Edwards-Helaire going down with the injury, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later. But I thought it was a great win, and now you put yourself in a position where all you have to do is win one of these last two games. Hopefully it'll be this week against a Falcons team that is going to try to play spoiler. That's all they really have incentive to do, and we'll talk a little bit about that a little later. But as we move through this show, no commercial break. This is almost like a holiday for all of you Chiefs fans out there, because you get a heavy dose of Joe, Barbershop, and me with no interruption. But we still got to acknowledge our friends at U.S. Bank, because whether you want a home ownership, business loans, retirement accounts, whatever your banking needs, whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn into your next pursuit. So, guys, as we talked about the Chiefs and the Saints in this game, and now the position we put ourselves in and being a number one seed, having to just win one of the next two games, we got a playoff picture to look at.
Playoffs?
How many years, out of each of you guys' years, how many years did y'all play in the playoffs?
Out of my 8 years, I played in the playoffs 3.
Yeah, I guess out of 10 seasons, I think I may have been to the playoffs 5. 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10?
Maybe. Definitely 4, maybe 5.
Yeah, I was 4 out of 6, I believe. 4 or 5 out of 6. The playoffs are big. The Chiefs, since pretty much they left South Florida, have been talking about running it back. It's always, the slogan has been run it back, and they give credit to Andy Reid, Brett Veach. They brought in the necessary tools and necessary additional players. And they have fostered an attitude amongst the organization that anything less is almost like a huge negative. And not a lost season, but it's a huge negative if they can't get back to where they were. And I kind of attribute it to going to your favorite movie. You go to your favorite restaurant, maybe go get some cupcakes or something. That's one of my weaknesses. Uh-oh. Cupcakes. and you get a taste of something really good, you want it again.
Oh, yeah.
Is it, and anything less, you don't want the knockoffs that you get from a dollar store or something like that. You want the exact same thing because it tastes so good to you. And that's what happened with the Chiefs Kingdom, Chiefs fans, and this Chiefs organization is they got the best dessert to end a season in February of this year, and they want to get back to it.
Yeah, down in Miami in Dolphin Stadium, they was able to that Hard Rock Casino Stadium, they was able to be the champions, and now they've celebrated a year of what it feels like to be champions. And I don't think that, you know, we talk about people who, when you feel power, you don't want to relinquish it.
Yeah.
So I don't think they want to relinquish that to anybody at any point. I think they like being the number one ranked team in football. I think they like when Good Morning Football talks about the rankings and Colin Cowherd talks about his power rankings.
Which he don't give us as much respect. Which is justifiable. I mean, we all are part of sports, and we watch sports TV, not to cut you off, Barbershop. It's but there's right. a method to the madness. They can't sit there. They know they can't sit and talk for 4 hours just about the Chiefs, so they make up stuff.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Patrick Mahomes, his left shoe ain't tied as tight as his right shoe, so that means he's off of his game, and I don't think he's going to bring this team. And, you know, the mouthpiece of L'Jarius Sneed, blah, blah, blah.
I like the fact that everybody is feeling like the Bills are the hot team right now. The Bills are doing a great job. Their quarterback Allen he's definitely shown to be improved throughout the season. You talk about, you know, the way they've played the last few weeks, finishing teams off. They amazing game, 48 points against the Denver Broncos. But again, I mean, like going into the Saints game, everybody was telling me about the Saints, and I said, well, the thing I question about the Saints and their defense, yeah, they haven't had but one rusher in 50 games. Rush for 100 yards. Their defense is number two in it. But when I started looking at their teams, they beat two teams the entire season that had better than a 500 record. And that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers twice. And that, so it's really one team. They beat that same team twice. And to think you can go a whole season and not beat anybody with a winning record and somehow feel like you're a top team in the NFL – coming off of a loss to the Eagles, and we know that NFC East is really suspect.
And a rookie quarterback.
Man, I think that the Saints. We saw exactly what the Saints are. The Saints are an average football team that have been fluffed up and built up to be a lot more than they really are, and we put them in their place. Really,
I hear you.
As far as rankings concerned,
do you think it would have been a different game if they had Michael Thomas? So, you know, of course, everyone is going to think, all right, so they beat this Saints team without all of their weapons.
Yeah.
All right, so Brees coming off an injury, he's not 100%, so he's not going to be, you know, the Drew Brees that everyone knows. And then him not having his number one weapon and him having to work with the other receivers on the team, do you think it would have been a different game if Michael Thomas played?
I think it would have been a different game, but it wouldn't have been a different outcome.
Gotcha.
Michael Thomas, to me, Drew Brees' game is now 20 yards and in.
Yeah.
He's not throwing the ball accurate down the field. You can see some of the throws that did not have much zip on them down the field. Didn't try to take the top off the defense very much, except for the one play to Emmanuel Sanders that he caught out defense off guard, quick snap. But other than that, it seems to be about 20 yards and in. And Michael Thomas is probably one of the top receivers in the game, running slants, hitches, out, bubble screen, all that stuff, where he's a run-after-catch guy. Mm-hmm. Not saying he can't go deep, but that's just not how he's utilized mostly. What, last year he had 149 catches. Most of those were short catches that he took yardage after catch and contact. So I agree with you, Barbershop. I think we saw the exact Saints team and who they are. You can also reference the Green Bay Packers the same way. As my understanding, I think they only beat one team with a winning record on the season at this point. And yet a lot of people are saying Aaron Rodgers is MVP. And we could talk about that too, because I think it's really come down to Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is MVP. I would even make an argument, and there's two things that I could see that could deter from Patrick Mahomes. Well, three things that could deter Patrick Mahomes from getting the MVP. One is if he doesn't play well down the stretch these last two games. Two, if who I think could also be a viable pick, Travis Kelce, winds up continuing to have big games.
Yeah.
So if you have, obviously you say, okay, well, how does Travis Kelce and having big games take away from Patrick Mahomes? Well, if Patrick Mahomes throws for 400 yards but throws three interceptions and Travis Kelce catches for 150, that's how you can elevate Travis Kelce a little bit more because Patrick Mahomes is dropping off. But then you have a situation where you are battling within the same organization and the same fan base, mm-hmm. votes and thoughts about two players.
Yeah.
So you almost negate, not that, you know, literally you're negating each other out, but you almost negate each other out because you're both playing for the same team. And the other thing in regards to Aaron Rodgers, the only positive that I can spin on him is all the noise that was made for Aaron Rodgers all this year is, how come that organization doesn't get him a first-round pick? How come they don't get him weapons? He's got to go out there with regular Joe Blows when Devontae Adams was down with an injury. He's going out there with guys, free agents, and no names, and he's making it work. There, in that side, you if you're going to give him or give the organization criticism because they didn't draft somebody as a top pick for their offense to help him, you're going to flip it because he's doing so well with those same personnel.
Yeah.
So I think that's where he seems to garner a lot of accolades, justifiably so in a lot of cases, but it's because he doesn't have the same kind of personnel. And sometimes people will negate some of Patrick Mahomes' magic because he has Tyreek Hill, one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the game, and definitely the best tight end in the game in Travis Kelce.
And do you think they're going to compare, you know, with the weapons that Mahomes have and the lack of weapons that
Aaron Rodgers
has, do you think they're going to compare and try to lift Aaron a little bit higher because he's been able to do more with less?
Yeah. I think at this point, not that we've gotten to the Brady status yet, but you're almost seeing the light down the tunnel of people wanting to figure out something to throw jabs at the Chiefs for.
We're in a Brady status. Yeah. We're in a Brady and a Patriot status right now.
Close to it, yeah.
We talked about Colin Coward not even wanting to, you know, basically put the Chiefs up there as the top team in the NFL. It's a reason why. Whenever you're at the top, nobody really want to give you the credit for being at the top, for putting in the work and doing the things that you do out there on the field week in, week out. So, of course, they're going to have to, you know, bring up something negative about the Chiefs. They're going to have to bring up something negative about Mahomes, how many weapons he has, and, you know, how easy it is for them to go out there and move the ball up and down the field and not necessarily give them the credit for being able to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very – like, you can change the narrative, use stats how you want. If you look at Pat Mahomes, the one bad game he had as a quarterback was against the Dolphins. Three picks, threw over 300 yards, two touchdowns, still won the game.
Yep.
You look at Aaron Rodgers' worst game, 175 yards, two picks, lost the game. So when you talk about what a quarterback's real job, like, forbid everything else, your job as a quarterback is to put your team in position to win a ball game. And if you really look at those interceptions we had, a guy falls down, gets up, tips the ball, right? Mm-hmm. The one that he threw that was over Clyde Helaire, that's him.
Yeah.
He definitely overthrew it, didn't get his feet set, and the ball sailed, boom. That's an interception on Pat. But the last one against a Pro Bowl cornerback who is beat, who Tyreek Hill hasn't beat, and he just makes a phenomenal one-head interception. You take your hat off and say, go for it.
Chalk that one up.
And the fact that Mahomes – like from a gunslinger, don't miss a beat. It's still attacking you. To me, it shows more in his being resilient against being gun shy after a three interception middle of the game, three interceptions that he never stopped firing. Yeah. He continued to attack the Dolphins defense and put up 30 some points against the at that point number one defense in the league. So. Again, Travis Kelce, if you talk about all around a candidate for MVP, because he's having a historically great season for the tight end position, I do think it's going to come down to him and Pat. And I'm not worried about the Kansas City fan base splitting there, because we've seen in MLB when it comes to filling up a Pro Bowl MVP race,
uh-huh.
Kansas City, we've done something when it comes to putting
voting. Yeah.
We got Frank Clark in the Pro Bowl.
That's amazing.
I mean, you talk about a fan base making their will be known.
Yeah.
To be able to put somebody in, I mean, obviously, I don't, you know, hey, man, Frank's going to come around in the playoffs. I know he's a playoff. He cuts his light on when it's time, when the lights are bright. But, I know when it comes time, the kingdom will raise their votes. They early, often online, offline. They got the mobile devices. They know how to do the robot votes. Yeah. We figured it out here.
Mail-in ballots.
Yeah. Mail-in. Oh, Lord. Don't talk about the mail-ins.
Dead family members.
Don't talk about them. We still too close from the election. Y'all bringing up bad memories.
So I'll say this. If you look at head-to-head, and I looked at a tweet, Nick Jacobs, shout out to Nick Jacobs. He posted the common opponents stats. Mahomes versus Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers record 3-1, 80 of 130 for 869 yards, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes against the same opponents, which were the Texans, the Bucks, the Saints, and the Panthers. Patrick Mahomes, 4-0, 117 of 173, basically 1,300 yards, 1,299, 13 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So, to me, that's kind of a tiebreaker situation. You know, we talk about tiebreaker situations in regards to playoff seedings. At this point, even though Aaron Rodgers has thrown for more touchdowns, common opponents against two great quarterbacks, that's a stat that I think you should look at.
Yeah.
And obviously, well, I don't know if the Packers had played the Falcons. Not sure about that. They've obviously played the Chargers, so we're at least going to have one more game where there's going to be a common opponent. Yeah, so that debate between Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes is still some football left to be played. Not sure if us securing the number one seed and Patrick Mahomes maybe playing one quarter, if any, in week 17 will play a role in whether Aaron Rodgers will be able to overtake Patrick Mahomes for that MVP vote. All of our votes here in the Chiefs Kingdom are Patrick Mahomes. He's the best player in the NFL. Yep. And the best player in the NFL has a game this week against the Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, a lot of people in the Chiefs Kingdom may not know much about the Falcons, but they are a viable team. I know, Joe, you had mentioned about Raheem Morris and he being the interim coach. But this is another football game, and if we didn't learn anything from last week, week 15, where the Jets were able to beat the Rams, a playoff team, we know that anything can happen on any given Sunday.
Yeah, and that has me thinking. I mean, you know, you talk about Raheem Morris, him being an interim head coach. You know, he's fighting for an opportunity to be a head coach somewhere next year. So he wants to go out there and put a good product out there on the field. And we're talking about guys that want to continue to compete for their jobs. So when you play against teams that don't really have much to play for as far as the season is concerned, but also has something to play for as far as their job and their career, I think those are kind of the most dangerous teams because they play spoilers to your season, but also they're trying to prepare themselves to be able to continue to play the game of football in the NFL. So yeah, just be on the lookout. You know, this it could potentially be a trap game. You know, especially when you are bringing up, you know, other teams that have beat these playoff type teams. I think about the Eagles beating the Saints a couple weeks back. You know, that was a team that wasn't supposed to beat the Saints, but they did with a rookie quarterback. So now we're talking about the Atlanta Falcons coming in with Matt Ryan, who's been slinging the ball all year long, although they've been losing. You know, he's still a dangerous aspect to the team. They just named Ito Smith the starter for at running back, which means they're going to, you know, kind of level off Gurley's attempts, rushing attempts. So, you know, they're going to put a good product out there on the team, not out there on the field, but – you know, I think they're going to end up losing the game, of course, but they're going to come out and they're going to play hard and they're going to make sure they challenge this Chiefs team.
Definitely a team that was tough, had a tough start out the blocks. To begin the season, obviously a couple of leads lost late in the games, carrying a 17-point lead or so larger into the fourth quarter twice in the first couple of weeks and end up losing those in the last couple of seconds. It caused their head coach's job. And once, you know, he was out the building, they turned around and beat the Vikings. Vikings is right now is a 7-17. So that was a good victory. Obviously, they beat the Panthers. a team that we struggled with here at home to try to find some ground on. And then the two more wins actually against the Denver Broncos and the Raiders. So this team has shown it comes to play against the AFC West for whatever reason, and that's a Raiders team that actually we lost to. So there is no room to be a what we call a trap game or a team to take lightly. The Atlanta Falcons is a team that has some great offensive talent, and they got some guys on defense that can get the job done. I know I've joked about this before about guys being just a guy, Jags. And so they have a lot of those guys. They got a lot of Jags on defense, just a guy. But hey, those just the guys can sometimes show up and make some impactful plays if you're not playing your A game, if you don't take them seriously and give them the respect they deserve. So I think they've won just enough games for you to not consider them one of those lowest tier teams like you do the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Jets organization. Those teams obviously organizationally are kind of struggling to find some footholds as far as wins and losses. But this Falcons team, we always know with Julio, Matty Ice, like we said, Ito Smith taking over as the running back, Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst. So those are threats. Those are offensive threats in the NFL.
Yeah, they definitely pose a problem for the Chiefs. I don't think it's anything we should overlook. And also, this is the one week, although we technically control our own destiny each of these 2 weeks, it would be really nice to be able to say we have secured the number one seed. We know exactly what's in store for us. We have to wait to see how everything unfolds in regards to who will play. We know everything will run through Arrowhead, where we still have the ability to have 17,000 fans that can come out and cheer on this team. We can put ourselves in the best position to run it back. And to be quite honest, if you want to be a Super Bowl winning team, you got to beat teams that you're supposed to beat. And kind of goes back to that old saying that Marty Schottenheimer used to say to us, I'm sure all the coaches said around the league, you win at home and you beat the team you're supposed to beat and you win in your division and you'll be playing in January. Now we have an opportunity to cover that and handle our business against a team that's 4-10 coming in to this into our home field. We did an outstanding job this season, 8-0 on the road, the most difficult road schedule in NFL history, and we accomplished it in aces. And now we have a chance to continue on that solid road with winning another game at home that we're supposed to. And how fun would it be to beat the Chargers with some backups the next week as well?
Fantastic.
That would be so fun for a lot of reasons as well. So, yeah, this Falcons team, they do present some problems. They have some playmakers. Their offense can line up against anybody and put points on the board. Matt Ryan on a 4-10 team has thrown for over 4,000 yards, while Patrick Mahomes on a 13-1 team has thrown for 4,400 yards. So not much of a chasm there in regards to yards yards gained on their offense. In the passing game, they have some other issues in regards to giving up the ball, as well as just not playing efficiently during the season. That does not negate the fact that they still have the arsenal that can beat any team on any Sunday. So yes, for the Chiefs fans out there cheering loud, it's a holiday weekend. Enjoy your families. Enjoy Christmas. Have a blessed, safe, and merry Christmas. Social distance. Wear your mask. Do whatever we can to get past this pandemic. But if this pandemic has not taught us anything, it should have taught us to value our loved ones, value our relationships, savor the moment, the moments that we have with them. And just still feel blessed, because no matter what we're going through, there's still people out there that are in much worse situations and are going through much worse circumstances in their family, with their loved ones, with their jobs, with their income, and so on. So make sure we are showing our love for each other, that we're being safe, that we're showing that we care for each other, social distance, and doing what we can out there. But at the first and foremost, definitely show your love to your loved ones and value this season. So for Players Only, we appreciate you all tuning in this week. Very unique this week and next week due to the holidays. We'll just be in podcast form only. You can get it on radio.com. Players Only, Joe Mays, whoop, whoop. Sean Barber,
Yes, sir.
And I am Danon Hughes, and we all wish you a blessed and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And we'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a Chiefs win against the Falcons and what should we do in regards to Week 17 with our stars. Talk to you then. Peace.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.